Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Joanna Brandy is with us, ladies and gentlemen. The first time I said that beautiful name was exactly 12 years ago this moment. It was the 1st of January, on this day in January, in 1998, when I first met Joanna. We actually had met her on the phone previously and got to know her a little bit and invited her to be on part of our show. And ever since, she's been coming back year after year after year, time after time. She's come back and joined us to talk to us about how to take care of our customers better. That's been the primary theme she's helped us with. And boy, howdy, have we learned from her. Joanna is the author of a number of books, including Winning at Customer Retention, including 54 Ways to Stay Positive, and she is the customer care coach. Joanna Brandy, welcome back.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.
Happy New Year. Happy anniversary. Thank you so much for all you've done over the years.
Happy New Year to you, too. And, you know, I think I was just thinking about that. You know, what's changed in the 12 years that I've been here? What's changed? And when it comes to customers, nothing except that it's more important now than ever. And I have to tell you, I have this sort of secret appreciation for what's gone on in the business world over the last 2 years, because I now believe that everybody understands how important their customers are.
Mm-hmm.
And while customers were aplenty, there was a tendency to be rushing to get the next one and forgetting to take care of the one you had.
Yeah.
Because there were many out there. So during the go-go years, people really didn't... They gave a lot of lip service to customers, but they didn't really do the work. And now what I'm beginning to see is that people are really starting to ask the bigger questions about, well, how does my culture affect the way my customers are taken care of?
Mm-hmm.
And how do I get my employees to really get on board with this? And, you know, I'm starting to hear a different level of interest and possibly a different level of commitment to it.
Well, and I think the reason that you're hearing that, Joanna, is because the way customers are deciding to do business with people, with businesses, and deciding to come back is not based on the same motivations that they were making 12 years ago.
No, exactly right. And 12 years ago, the customers... It's funny, you know, I went into my little... I have a little storage unit over here. You know, Florida, we don't have basements. I went over, I've gotten myself into a bit of a paper mess in my office because I'm such an information hound that I keep, you know, accumulating things and now need to move some stuff out to the file cabinets that are over there. And so I spent a little time over the weekend, you know, reading through some of the older papers and things like that. And I began to realize that my message has stayed very, very consistent. But it's gotten truer and truer, which is kind of interesting. I came across a slide, you know, we were using... You know, I've been at this for so long. You know, we used to use slides. We used to use the overhead.
Right.
I can't tell you how many overhead transparencies I put in the dumpster.
Yeah, I still have my overhead projector, and we have new young employees who come to work, and they say, "What's that?"
The coffee table. But I was looking at these overheads, and there was one that I had drawn. I worked with an artist because I think cartoons work really well, and there was one that I had drawn that had a picture. It was a seesaw. And the customer that had a crown, you know, I was talking about the customer's king, and there was the seesaw, and the manufacturer was now at the low end of the seesaw, and the thing on it says the power has shifted from the people who sell to the people who buy. Now, while I guess I could see that maybe 15, 20 years ago when I was teaching it, I don't think that cycle had completed. I think the power was in the process of moving to the people who buy, but now the power is squarely in the hands of the customers, and thank you Twitter, and thank you the, you know, to all the social media platforms that are giving the customers a voice that goes right out into the world while they're on the phone waiting for you to pick up the while they're on hold waiting for you to pick up the phone. So this absolute revolution and this amazing power shift has totally changed the nature of the relationship with the customer.
See, I'm actually, and you are so right, and you were so smart to predict it those years ago. And folks, now you know why we have Joanna on, because she saw this coming. And Joanna, I'm actually giving it a name, what we've got right now, and I'm saying it begins officially this year, and I'm calling it this thing where we're going right now, the age of the customer.
Yeah, and I saw that in your predictions on Sunday, and the only thing that bothers me about that a little bit is because I've heard that before and I don't think people got it.
Well, it is now, and here's why.
Why do we call it the age of the fleeting customer, the age of the powerful customer, the age of the empowered customer?
The reason I say that is because the customer, as you say, is now in complete control. Yes. See, 15 years ago, Joanna, in fact, 2 years ago, the customer had not acquired complete control yet.
No.
See, 15 years ago, the customer was starting to get the second. There are three elements to the buying decision. Number one, the buying decision. Number two, the information about the product and the company. Number three, what do they know about what other people's experience with this company, with the product. So in 15 years ago, customers have always had the first one. They could always decide when to buy and who to buy from. But the information, Joanna, when I was a young pup selling, I was my customer's internet. I brought them the information they needed.
Exactly.
Well, 15 years ago, the internet started giving everybody that. So now when we call when we go to a business, we know more about the product a lot of times than the employee does. And so that's number two. So we've got that with the internet. And number three is the user-generated content, the UGC. And that is I did business with this company, and I don't like them. When you go on eBay, when you see who the seller is, you check out their rating, right? So now you have that information, and so all of that now gives the customer complete control. They know everything, and maybe more than you know as a seller.
Exactly.
And so now, when they come to you, what's the only thing you can do is just wow them with the experience.
And anticipate what they're going to need.
Yeah. Hold on to that. Well, and ask them, too. You got to ask them. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break right back with Joanna Brandy. We're celebrating her 12th anniversary as a member, as a founding member, as an original member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. Stay with us. 20 after.
Say what you see, but don't ask me why. Love never seems to last you. The anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out when you get a chance and using it to your advantage. We're celebrating the 12th anniversary, the happy anniversary with our good friend Joanna Brandy. And she, as of today, as of this moment, she has been with us now 12 years as an original founding member of our Brain Trust. Joanna Brandy, thank you for being here all these years, for all the things you've done for us.
You are so welcome. It's been my pleasure.
And that's customercarecoach.com, is that right?
Yes, it is.
And they can find your books there and all the other things that you do. And
absolutely.
And they can find out about how to use you if they want to find out how to do a better job of connecting with their customers.
Absolutely. And their employees, because, you know, you can't have one without the other. If you're creating a wonderful environment for people to work in, it's so much easier for them to then create a wonderful environment for the customers. I had a call yesterday from somebody that it was inquiring about using my services, and it was almost as if the floodgates opened, that she had somebody that she could talk to.
Right.
And it's a medical office, medical facility, And she went on and on and on about the girls, those were her term, that was her term, the girls that worked in the office, and of course she was a woman, she called them the girls, which I found very interesting in this day and age. But I, you know, didn't say anything, and I listened to her, and she was talking about how they just, they didn't get along with one another, and they snipped at the customers, and they snapped at the customers.
Wow.
I just let her talk, and she says, what can you do to help me? I said, well, I have to ask you a few more questions. So I started asking her more questions, and then finally I said, tell me a little bit about the doctor that owns the practice. Well, you know, it didn't take long before I began to see when you've got somebody at the top who is, I love how she said, he's really a very nice man, but.
But.
And it turns out that he's very sarcastic, and that he has a habit of saying, and he's a perfectionist. Not only does he have a medical degree, but he has an MBA, and he's one of these people he's very focused, he's an overachiever, and he really believes the rest of the world should be the same way he is, and that's my words, not hers, but he very often will snip at people and say things like, did you leave your IQ at home today?
Right.
Or he'll look at someone and say, did you dye your hair blonde? You're behaving like a blonde.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, my God. And she's going on and on about how this gentleman, and he sort of does it with a smile on his face, like it's sarcasm. He thinks he's just joking.
Yeah.
So he's created this toxic environment for people where they now snip and snap at each other and, you know, slam the little door on the client and very rude to the client on the phone. And she wants me to come in and fix them.
Right. Yeah.
I was like, ooh.
That's not going to happen. Well, you know, Joanna, when I was in the military, I learned that if I wanted to see what kind of a commander a unit had, I just needed to go meet one of his privates, one of his corporals, one of his rank and file folks. And if I wanted to see what kind of a manager, what kind of a commander a business has, I just go talk to some of the folks out in the field. And so, folks, if you're running a business and you are not getting as much out of your people as you want, if you're not happy with the way they're treating customers, if your sales are off, if customers aren't coming back, and you're wondering why, don't look at your products, don't look at your pricing, don't look at your trucks or your building, look at yourself.
That's the tough part for small business owners, CEOs, presidents. It's really tough for us to look at ourselves.
Introspection and self-analysis hurts, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I think the big question, and what I left her with, was, you know, how can you create internally a culture of appreciation so that everyone in the organization is appreciated for what they do well? And I was quite frank with her. I said, if they're not good, get rid of them, because there's plenty of people looking for jobs.
Right.
Oh, don't get me wrong, she said. They're really wonderful people. And she went on and on and talking about that. I said, then somebody needs to be telling them that.
Yeah.
Because you can't expect an employee to bring the best of themselves to work when the best of themselves is in danger of being knocked down by somebody who thinks he's
well, because they're always defensive. But you know, but you don't have to go to that extreme to have dysfunction. I mean, there are people listening. Well, I'm not snippy. I'm not sarcastic. I don't use sexist terms. You know, I'm not like that. Well, folks, you don't have to be that extreme to be ineffective. It could just be that you're not. Maybe you've neglected your people. Maybe they might not mind a little sarcasm just to be connecting with you a little
bit.
Here's
my theory, because I've spent many years working with business owners. I think that business owners are driven from within. You and I don't have to be prodded to get up in the morning and go to work. You know, but because we are so intrinsically motivated, we don't notice that other people need to have a little bit more attention, a little bit more praise, a little bit more focus on what they do right. And I think we really have to make a concerted effort. Business owners, you know, and what I've heard from many of them is, well, that's what I pay them for.
Yeah.
And the reality is, yes, that is what you pay them for.
But that's what makes people show up. That's not what makes them do their best job and be the best they can be. And you and I are going to Joanna's going to stay with us, folks. We're going to stay with one more segment with her. We're going to talk about this some more. This is very important, folks. We talked about this a little bit in the last hour. This is one of the key things to your success in the new age, in the age of the customer. Stay with us. 29 after.
Oh, I'm back.
Business is bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Girl, I'm bad, 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 bad. Amazing why.
Now, welcome back. I'm so excited about having Joanna Brandy on the show, folks. I just can't wait to get back on the air with her and get her to share some of her wisdom with us. I just get so excited about this. She's still with us, folks. We're celebrating her 12th anniversary as a member of our Brain Trust. Today is the official anniversary day, and we're having a great time with her. That's customercarecoach.com. Right,
it is, and my blog is customercaregoddess.com.
Ooh, not to be the least bit presumptuous, huh? customercaregoddess.com, I like that. Well, I've seen Joanna, folks. Joanna and I have been face-to-face more than once, and I buy that, Joanna. I get that. Okay, we're talking about engagement of employees. You know, Joanna, that was
a convenient slip of the tongue because you can't have one without the other.
That's exactly right. But the thing is you can, if you can't do all your business yourself, if you have to have employees to leverage the energy and the time and the expertise of employees with customers, and if you're not selling enough business, if you're not getting enough business, or your customers aren't coming back as much as you want, or whatever level of unsuccess that you're having, it's because your customers are not engaging with you, and that's because your employees are not engaging with them, and that's because you're not engaging with your employees,
yeah,
Joanna.
It really rolls right back up to the top, doesn't it?
It's cause and effect,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Talk to us about that.
Yeah, well, I think more than ever before, because people are right now, after having come through, I don't know, have we come through the recession, Jim? I know
well,
you have your predictions there.
Technically,
but
it's over, but it still feels like a recession.
I'm not so sure that everybody is technically finished with it.
No, it still feels like a recession to a lot of people.
So you've got people working for you that, although they have a job, they may have family members that don't have a job. They may have been, you know, victim of the housing bubble and overextended them. You know, there were lots and lots of communities where people refinanced their mortgages and then ended up upside down on them. I mean, the pressures on people today are huge. Even just the pressure, even if you have a job, even just the pressure of coming home and saying to your spouse, I just saw them cut more people from my department. I wonder if I'm going to be next.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching friends of mine go through this, and it's terribly, terribly stressful. So now you've got these employees. They have a job, but they're feeling the stress of what's going on around them. They're taking in the negativity of what they heard on the news, of what they're bringing home from their family and friends. They're feeling more stressed. They come into your environment, and you magically expect them to be able to let go of that and take care of the customers. I think it's incumbent upon business owners today to really create a wonderful, positive, nurturing, helpful environment internally.
Yeah.
Where they're present, where they look up, you know, where you look up from your desk, you make eye contact with someone, you ask them how they are, you take an interest in who they are, you notice what they do best, you engage them in conversations about how to improve the organization, especially the younger people. They want to contribute.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I hear so many people talking about, well, these younger people, you know, they don't do this and they don't do this and they don't do this and they think they're so damn smart and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I sit there and take a deep breath and I say, but maybe they are. They're coming to you with these fabulous ideas because they're coming fresh
mm-hmm.
from the world that you don't yet understand. And, you know, we talked a little earlier about, you know, you and I, aside, talked a little bit about social media.
Mm-hmm.
But if social media is where, especially the customer service function is going, if social media is where the customers are playing, it's a darn good thing that we have employees that know
right.
how to use it.
Who understand that.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. No, that's exactly right. And I don't think I've ever seen a time when the generations were as much at cross purposes as they are right now.
Well, you know, my theory is that if you were to get people together and get them discussing at a deeper level what their values are,
yeah.
I'm going to say, from my experience, that they're not at cross purposes. They actually have the same kinds of values.
But they don't know that yet, though. But they don't know that, and that's what we've got to do. That's what we've got to find out. We've got to.
We have to make time for that kind of deeper conversation.
That's exactly right. That's what we've got to do. Joanna, I got to wrap it up. Happy anniversary. Thanks for 12 great years. Can we do 12 more?
Absolutely.
Because I'm going to be here.
Well, then I'll be here with you, Jim.
Hey, Joanna, thanks for being here.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Joanna,
Happy New Year.
Thank you, Joanna. Joanna Brandy, ladies and gentlemen, she's the best, as you know. And that's CustomerCareCoach.com. Hope you'll check that out when you get a chance. A lot of good stuff there that she offers. And take a quick break right back after these messages. Stay with me. I'm Jim Blasingame.
But if I ever caught you running around, throwing my money all over this town, then I wouldn't be doggone. Hey, hey, I'd be long.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.